intranets on campus, governmental organizations, financial organizations, and gas stations in 150 countries have fallen victim to ransomware named WannaCry. It's making a lot of us want to cry. The spread of the virus slowed on Monday as no major organizations reported to have been impacted by the global cyber attack. So that is good news. The hackers, though, behind the global cyber attack are still unidentified. So tell me more about this global cyber attack that's happening.
Yeah, I think after doing this research, and maybe I can speak for New Hong Lin as well, but we definitely wanted to cry because there's a lot of questions that are left unanswered. And we found ourselves speculating quite a bit, but we're going to sit here and try to fill you in with what we have found as the latest and greatest information here. So, yes, the WannaCry ransomware. I want you to remember that word, ransomware. This is an unprecedented malware attack that began sweeping the globe last week. And security researchers estimated that nearly 57,000 computers in more than 150 countries were infected by the end of the day on Friday. While the spread of this is very terrifying, it was slowed on Saturday but hardly stopped, folks. As of Monday morning, more than 200,000 systems around the world are believed to be infected. So, well, let's talk about what is this? You're like, but Ryan, what is it? What is it? I'm going to tell you what it is, and it's going to make you want to cry, okay? This malware is a scary type of Trojan virus called ransomware. Now, let me explain Trojan virus. Trojan refers to what is the popular belief that the Trojan War was won by, I think, was it the Greeks? I'm not sure. But an army invading a city by using this horse. And the guys hid in the horse and they rode it up to the city and the army abandoned it. And the people on the walls and stuff, they're like, oh, they must have left this gift for us so that they admit defeat. And they wheeled the Trojan horse into their city. And then at night, the guys escaped the Trojan horse and opened the gate and everybody came in, and that's how they won the war, right? The Trojan War. So this is how you can imagine this virus works. It comes in through an email most of the time, and it makes you think, hey, I got to download this email content, and oof, all of a sudden you've got this malware on your computer. Ransomware, though, it's a virus that affects the computer by holding certain files and whatnot hostage. So this is kind of how the software, the WannaCry, is working. What it'll do is it'll basically demand that the victim pays, let's say, a ransom of $300 in bitcoins at the time of infection. Okay? The demands must be either met by a three-day period, or I guess that money will be jacked up to $600 worth of Bitcoin. After 7 days without payment, guys, WannaCry will delete all of your encrypted files and the data will be lost. So this has a lot of different ways. I mean, JPEGs, pretty much any type of file type this thing can infect and will infect. But what's interesting is what I had said to you about how maybe most ransomware and malware gets on your computers through email. What's interesting about this one and how security is looking at it and this breach that it's happened as wasn't necessarily through email. According to the Telegraph, Candon Woost, a threat researcher at Semtex, said the company was carefully monitoring emails over the weekend for any evidence of what they're calling phishing, which is that email system of getting you infected with malware, but had not found any. He said that most likely the way the malware spread was through a Windows Server Message Block SMB protocol, a system used to share files between computers. While SMB is typically used for inter-office communications, some connect to the public internet, making them vulnerable to hackers. He said, if it's exposed to the internet, then just having a computer online is enough. So basically, some of these systems, I imagine it's kind of like almost a cloud sharing system most of the time in our office. But if one of those computers or things connected to the system is also connected to the internet, that's probably how this how this malware got on the computer.
Yeah, so if you're using the Windows XP system, then there's a loophole there, and you one computer in that intranet, so within that company or organization gets infected, and it spreads like fire. So that's an immediate spread that people are kind of worried about. So that's why we saw a lot of people shutting down their company intranets, that kind of thing. But, and also, why is Bitcoin? How is that involved?
Well, hold on. There's quite a few other things to say here. The reason why this, I think, attack has been so specific on public service industries, especially in the NHS, which really hit hard, is because, you know, a lot of private institutions, they get hacked all the time. People always want to chase the rich person and get the money from them. You know, that's where the money is. So they're always constantly updating their security systems and this kind of thing. Whereas I think, you know, these public health systems like the NHS or other things, whatnot like that, maybe aren't always thinking that they're the biggest security, you know, they're at such a big security risk. People are targeting them so much. But definitely this kind of system, this kind of Trojan horse is targeting that.
Yes, yeah. And to answer Hoyang's question earlier about why Bitcoin is involved, because Bitcoin is a kind of cryptocurrency that we call it decentralized, meaning that if you're using a Bitcoin account, in theory, the account should be anonymous, and the Bitcoin currency can be transmitted from individual users, and it's easily exchanged, and it's worth widely accepted. That is why he's using this account. But apparently, even though this is anonymous account, you can still find the account and the actual address of the account, making the account kind of transparent to everyone in the world, meaning that when the money goes into the three anonymous account, it's kind of hard for him to actually cash the money out.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that. So basically what this guy has done is he has set up, as I understand, three anonymous wallets on Bitcoin where this money is going to. So like Nuhong Lin had said, Bitcoin is like a transparent, I would say, online bank in the way of a wallet. They provide the wallet, this middle system. This is how I would phrase it. The money goes there in this kind of limbo area, right? And until someone claims it, the person that maybe opened the account, it's there. But right now, nobody's claiming it, because once you claim it, that's when the FBI or all these intelligence agencies know the IP address that's connected or trying to connect to it. But anyways, so far, because the ledger on Bitcoin is completely transparent, it's like a transparent bank, right? The only thing that's anonymous is the person that opened these three wallets. They can see the amount of money that's going into it. So I guess according to Rob Price from Business Insider, as of 14 hours ago, it had $49,000 US dollars in it. So the thing is, though, this guy, like Rob Price makes the claim, he's going to have a really hard time claiming this money because everybody's watching these three wallets like a hawk, trying to make sure whoever tries to access this money or tries to get it, that IP address is in their hands right away.
So the guy we're talking about is the hacker. And maybe it's a group of people.
Maybe a group
who knows? Just like nobody knows who invented Bitcoin either. So I think this world called the cyberspace, those active agents or the big players, big fish in that world, I think to most of us seem very mysterious. Mm-hmm. And for something like this to happen, it is certainly one time for people to open eyes to, wow, this is a cyber world that maybe many of us feel very hopeless or helpless in.
Well, so according to Alex Stamos, Facebook's chief security officer, who tweeted this on Saturday, he said there's definitely a sweet spot for leveraging online crimes. You want to use the scale to make money, but not enough to scale, not enough of a scale to wake up law enforcement. So there's this sweet spot that this guy, I think, either knowingly went over and is trying to, I'll tell you what I think his motives are. Or he didn't have any clue how viral this would be, and he's probably freaking out. But basically what I think Alex Stamos is saying is, most hackers that are in it maybe for the money know this sweet spot to make sure that law enforcement doesn't consider them public enemy number one. And right now, this guy, because he's targeted, you know, government entities, he is totally public enemy number one.
Yeah, I have a different theory. That is because, according to CNN, the attack was spread through a vulnerability that was leaked last month in a 12 of hacking tools believed to belong to the NSA. So basically, the NSA and other spy agencies, they look for the software vulnerabilities and take advantage of it in a good way. So they wanted to be able to investigate some kind of evidence, and these loopholes are used for intelligence gathering or law enforcement. And according to law, they don't have to report these loopholes to the business involved in this. So if that is the case here, it's possible that someone got access of this new vulnerability discovered by NSA. So the guy is not necessarily the one who wrote the program, so he's not necessarily knowing what is going on.
Hold on.
That is why he doesn't really understand how viral it could be. So he might be a smart tech guy, but he's not that. Well, my theory is that he's possible
right.
that he's not that socially sophisticated.
I totally disagree, 150%. And I'll say what you said about a protocol. Not everybody knows how to use it. I think you just assume that he was given like the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 step way of doing this, and that's how the information was presented to him. I doubt that. You said it has been out there for months. I'm sure someone else would have done this right away. I think he did this because he was the one who figured out how to make it practical, how to make it work. Maybe other people were like, oh, this wouldn't work for privatized businesses. I don't want to use it. You know, they always update their stuff. But this guy's like, maybe they're chasing the wrong cash cow. And so that's why this guy did this. But at the same time, I'm going to say that this guy either has a beef or these guys have a beef. They're angry about something. Or they're savant hackers looking for recognition, saying, look what I did. Look what I can do. Or maybe guys looking for a job, because, you know, I think many of these people chasing them, it's going to be like a catch me if you can situation
yeah.
where they find the best criminal and they're like, hey, you either go to jail for life or we pay you pretty handsomely and you can work for us and help us catch the next brilliant savant.
So evil genius.
Yeah, because imagine this guy probably knows Bitcoin pretty well. I imagine it's not the most complicated thing for a hacker, right? So he's saying, how can I really frustrate people and show them how good I am? Well, I'll make all this money I'm generating from governments, the strongest institutions around the world, public, to show how much money I got through such a simple exploit. And I will never touch it because I'm not interested in it. I'm interested in the recognition and showing what I can do, and the money shows what I can do. It's like going into your house, taking all your belongings, and putting it in a safe, and leaving the safe in your house, and saying,
"That's
yeah,
mean."
Yeah, it's mean, but it proves a point. That now you're who's helpless, you know?
Yes, and actually, even though this is a very popular virus right now, I gotta say, experts all around the world are saying that you should not pay for the ransom anyway, because you're dealing with a criminal. It's possible that even if you pay the ransom, he won't decrypt your files. And the researchers say that they're also yet to receive a reply from those behind the ransom after trying to contact them. So that's my little advice here. Maybe don't pay the ransom.
I think that's the thing about ransomware, because it's like in real life, when a ransom happens,
you are never
guaranteed if you're definitely going to get your thing back.
Well, of course he's going to say that, whether he had the intention of giving the money back or not. Because if you knew he was never going to give you the money back, then it's not a ransom, right? Like, or give you back control of your computer. So, like I said, I think my argument still stands. For him to be able to pull this off, he had to make you think that he was going to give you control, or else why would you pay?
Yeah.
So that point, I think, is also, you know, also doesn't diffuse mine. But, you know, ABC Radio national contributor Patrick Gray tweeted, whoever did this just became a global law enforcement priority. They'd be well advised to publish decryption keys and walk away. For real. Gray also said the FBI will be coming after this guy, the NSA, the GCHQ, New Zealand's Government Communications Security Bureau, the Australian Signals Directorate, Canada's Communications Security Establishment. This guy's not going to be having an easy life. I mean, imagine the Bourne identity. This guy's going to be running around just like that guy is. You know?
Yeah, everybody's trying to catch him. And he has, or this group of people, the group of hackers, who knows who they are, have become top priority globally.
Yeah.
And that is certainly, I think, one phenomenon that nobody foreseed coming. But also, what's quite interesting here is there are multiple ethical questions that need to be answered.
Absolutely.
Like you guys mentioned, it's the NSA, the National Security Agency of the United States, which is a government entity that supposedly first found the loophole in the Windows XP system. But the government entity kept that information to itself. And now Microsoft has come out and the boss seems pretty mad that this loophole seems to be exploited, but it could have been avoided. And also, with so many people around the world using individual computers or those public organizations who have fallen victim, who's at fault here for all this chaos?
Well, you know, this is a platform for people to do stuff on. So what institution people will be trying to find exploitations to defend themselves against them, that's just the natural being of defense. Try to defend against what you think your enemy might do next, those being, you know, hackers and whatnot. So I think for what the NSA did, it is, of course, we can point fingers and say, I can't believe you did that. But I also think what Nu Hong Lin had said is it came from, we got to be ready to protect against this kind of thing. But at the same time, the information was leaked by another hacking organization that got it and leaked it to the public. So it wasn't like, I wouldn't say the NSA just, I mean, it could be that they just didn't have enough security on that, or maybe they did, and that these other hackers were just really good. We can speculate all day, but the fact of the matter is the NSA didn't willingly leak this information out there.
Yeah, definitely, but the Microsoft has come, the boss has come out to say this is a shared responsibility of maintaining cyber security. So should the government share this information with the company, or what about the private entities? If they found something unfavorable, and would it share with the government?
Well, I don't think the government's going to share anything it doesn't want to share, okay? And with regards to what Microsoft is, it is a platform people use. And so when people use stuff, that is also probably in the realm of the jurisdiction of the government. Microsoft is a, you know, it's a company. Of course, they're going to have a public release trying to push away blame, saying, oh, this isn't us, you know? But it was kind of also their software allowing this to happen. And they didn't update certain things. They stopped updating Windows, I think, XP after 2014. So this could have also been a problem. They should have known that public institutions might have still been using Windows XP and they weren't updating it. So we can point fingers all day. The fact of the matter is somebody exploited a weakness in our chain. And what I think is really scary is we're heading forward to automation.
Mm-hmm.
We're heading forwards to, you know, everybody's talking about artificial intelligence. Imagine a world where we give more responsibility to these computers. And in doing so, all it takes is some guy to figure out how to use a basic malware, a basic ransomware, but to be able to sneak it into your system so cleverly to have control over almost all aspects of your life, because that seems to be the way we're heading. We just keep giving more and more responsibility from ourselves to automize banking, automize this, automize that. So that's also an ethical concern I have. It's scary.
Yeah, it is very scary with the advancement of technology. The more connected we are, actually, if one chain is broken, everybody gets affected. So you can see the merits of staying in the cave sometimes when nothing is infectious when it's a different entity, that kind of thing. But also, I think there's one very important question that we need some answers. In this day and age, also in this case, how can we protect ourselves from such cyber attacks with our computers?
Well, one thing I thought when I was reading this, and I, you know, I'm no tech guru, so, but the first thing I thought is this was something to do with online, all these computers being connected through either one computer being online or all of them having this connection online. If it was just one, but they all share a network, it seems it doesn't matter if it's one or all of them, right? But have your information on some kind of unconnected source, a backup. Have your vault of information. Realize that is just as valuable as what else you'd put in a vault. Information is everything, right? Look what happened in the NHS. So many problems. They had so many problems. So I think having a backup that is not connected to the internet is one way.
Yes, and also, I gotta say, because someone's saying that the firms that fail to keep their software up to date are also responsible in a way because they had 2 months to update their Microsoft products. That being said, I think if you are nerdy enough to understand all the technology about your computer, maybe you can do your own thing. But if you're not, somehow trust the big entities, update your computer system, making sure you're on the state-of-the-art technology.
You know, I think it's so interesting because when I first heard about this, I was thinking, oh, poof, all of a sudden a virus appears in your computer. They're like tech wizards, you know? They're just casting tech wizard spells and it's some kind of magic we don't understand. But actually, it is literally just finding a chink in the chain, just finding one person connected to the internet that uses some system that allows an uploading and a downloading from different people or something like that. It's not as complex, I think, as sometimes we make it seem.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And in China, I feel so sorry for the 8 million senior students getting their dissertation ready.
Bummer,
and
guys.
They have to postpone their graduation because of this. And also those poor patients that had to suffer in the UK because the NHS system
was
hacked.
People who suffered around the world, we feel for you, seriously.
Yeah, so in the future, maybe we need to... Is it even possible, though, to stay a little bit away from the cyber connectedness that we are in this world? You're listening to Roundtable.